ham?
On July 4th, 2007, Joey Chestnut won the 92nd annual Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest held at Coney Island in New York, defeating six-time defending champion Kobayashi. Since that day in history, Chestnut has hoisted the mustard belt 17 times, including this year's title, in which in 10 minutes he ate 70 and a half hot dogs, which is a new record.
Legend.
He did not participate last year because a conflict in sponsorship.
He did the Netflix thing with Kobayashi.
Yeah. Because he had signed on a sponsorship with like vegan hot dogs, which is anti-Nathan hot dog. And they would not allow him, and then I think they said they would allow him, but he was going to do his own thing.
They realized they had nothing without him, so they let him back.
Yeah, so last year...
So you said how many to eat this year?
70 and a half.
Imagine the Jurassic Park Triceratops mound of dung he is plopping down this morning.
This morning?
Or I guess yesterday morning.
Yesterday morning.
From July 4th?
Yeah. Today's the 6th. Okay, yeah.
It takes a little bit of time for it to
48 hours,
move through your body.
All right. Last year, Patrick Bertinelli.
Hey.
Bertoletti. Bertoletti. Whoa. Won last year. He ate 58. So he ate like 20 more than him.
Boy, they had to just all be so annoyed when he agreed to come back.
Ah, damn it.
Cool. Glad you're back, man. Good to see you.
Yeah, that was their reaction.
How do you put a governor on him? Like, how do you make it more even?
Make him eat 15 an hour before.
Hmm.
Or give everyone else 13 minutes.
Like a 5-minute head start.
Yeah.
What if one of the hot dogs on his plate is a stick of dynamite instead of a wiener? And it's just
on a dog.
It's like the fuse is lit. Whoa, wait a second. Almost got me.
Hot dog.
Or yeah, like right before the contest, he has to eat an entire tray of Stouffer's lasagna.
Entire
just
tray.
Just to set a foundation.
Yeah, that little base, yeah. But yeah.
I'd still probably bet on it.
Yeah.
70 and a half hot dogs this year. But in addition to how great he is, how great of an athlete that is. We also have the George Shea intros for the players, or the participants in the...
The eaters.
The eaters.
George Shea was on with...
Eli and Rich.
Yeah.
George.
Great interview.
It always is.
He also has great introductions. They're always over the top. This was the 2025 Open for Joey C that he did this year.
We are humbled by age in preparation for the great insult of death. But there are those who stand immortal, not through the grace of heaven, but through their own triumphs. I speak of this man!
Yeah.
Formed from the shards of shattered angels, wielding the white sword of righteousness, standing as quiet as truth. Ladies and gentlemen, while we must all face the dark mountain of night, forsaken and forlorn, alone in the ruins of our own minds, he will never fail or falter, for he defies the ministers of our fate and the limitations of our birth. And he will not stop until he stands side by side with the gods, his glory is strung like beads of light, to adorn the arc of history itself. Joey Chestnut!
Just completely over the top.
Why has another sport not adopted this for pregame?
You want them to do a full 53-man football roster?
There's nothing else happening 30 minutes before the
starting
game.
Starting at 1 a.m.?
Yeah. Why not?
I don't. The problem is he doesn't do quite that elaborate for every eater, right?
No. It's mainly for him because he's the 17-time winner.
Like, right. What if you had Michael Irvin doing a similar intro for every Cowboy leading up to kickoff?
Yes.
Who says no?
That'd be amazing.
Right. Someone just has to write it out for him, and he'll read whatever.
Finish the fight!
Yeah, you'll get a lot of that.
It's greatness. But yeah.
It's a good bit.
A tried and true tradition of the hot dog eating contest. Here at the Ticket, we also have a long tried and true tradition. That is a 3-year long tradition now.
Yeah.
Is George Shea has also voiced hot dog introductions for members of the Ticket crew.
Like you said, he's a friend of the station.
Friend of the station, yeah. Yeah. He was on just the other day. He is aware of the station. And he's done this, like I said, the last 2 years. He's done it again for a third year.
Do we
want to hear one of the ones we did last year?
I think there is a little... I think the main distinction between the two is in the entirety of the one George Shea does for Joey Chestnut,
he's
lifting him up.
Yeah.
Right? He's promoting how good he is. I feel like he takes a different approach on the Ticket and doesn't quite highlight the good things about us and the good things that we've done.
He probably sees the comments about us online and whatnot, so he's probably not plugged in all the time, so he just sees a lot of the negativity out there. Thank you. Wild ride.
To the first one.
So here's one he did last year for... Say Matt Birmingham? Oh, my God.
Oh.
Oh, God.
So loud.
Too loud.
The Ticket's history of board operators will be studied by future scholars for millennia, producing the likes of Psycho Dave, Grooves, Expo, Pop on Jill, Tyler Samsel, and David Mino. A man who is willing to use his mouth in any way he can to be mentioned with any of those greats is Matthew Dahmer Birmingham, also known as Ham. Named after food, despite having a loose concept of what that actually means. Only Ham and other uneducated hobos believe the third most popular vegetable, okra, shares the deep depths with swordfish, seahorses, and hammerhead sharks. A man whose broadcast style resembles other titans of live broadcast commentary like Howard Cosell, Al Michaels, and Pat Summerall. If Howard Cosell, Al Michaels, and Pat Summerall were hit in the head by a tire iron repeatedly before every game. Baffling nutritionists from here to Timbuktu. Ham's total body weight fluctuates between a hefty fourth grader and a down-on-her-luck Eastern European meth addict. He keeps his little boyish figure in bottom shape with a regular diet of fried chicken, fried potatoes, fried chicken, and fried potatoes. A man who can only get his little turtle head to peek its head out for the woman he tricked into marrying him as if she's role-playing like Batgirl after the Joker shoots her.
Oh, God.
Yes, that confined her to a wheelchair. His hobbies are playing the drums for drunk P1s, half-understanding Ranger games, and having Sean Bass set up next segment's audio for him during the break. His only foes are vitamins and simple English words like the, this, and a. He is Ham!
My mistake, I think it was triple fake Joey Chestnut for that, or not.
George Shea
for that one, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Somehow the Ham intro was 3 times longer than the Joey Chestnut intro.
I don't think they're going to get any shorter, bud, so strap in.
Here's the thing. He did some for this year. Let's go ahead and hear the first one, Mr. Connor.
Heaven and hell, celestial beings, and all the cosmos dwarf in their importance and overall size when compared to this man. When generations looked up and dreamt of the stars... He dreamt of how he could steal their jokes. A man whose wit is only eclipsed by his cholesterol levels.
He's letting you have it, dude.
A monolith of mirth, a heavyweight of humor, a colossus of comedy, a leviathan of laughter, a sultan of sarcasm encased in a sarcophagus of saturated fats. He who traded a limb for Reddit relevancy.
Wait a minute.
Doctors couldn't cure his second bout of cancer, so he chose to roast cancer into remission. The only man on Earth who would tell you that trading bodies with EA Azad would actually be an improvement for his sex life. His aura is a rejection of women. The eight ball at a billiards table gets more action than him and is avoided at all costs. A man who reads romance novels as mystery novels. He is to seduction what salt is to a gaping wound. His gravitational pull of compliments are only matched by his empanada to anus ratio.
What?
A man who makes celibacy look like self-care. He is an undesirable enigma, a both sides bimbo, the chubby chunky chuckler of chastity, the amputee of the absurd, Justin Montemayor.
Wow.
Well, that was mine?
Yeah, that was you, actually.
I went into that thinking it was DJ.
What gave it away?
Right at the very end there when he said my name.
I didn't know how to tell it to him. I could tell he wasn't understanding at all.
You focused... I feel like I have a lot going on in my life, and he focused on two things. My size and my striking out with women.
Yeah.
That was 90,
a recurring theme.
95%
to say
of
the
content there. I would not trade bodies with EA, by the way.
Well, it gets even better, because he also did an intro for DJ.
This one is about DJ.
This one
then.
Is about DJ. Okay. He did DJs.
The most profoundly unremarkable person to walk the earth since the day he was born during a conjugal visit. A man who makes mediocrity
born during.
Look ambitious. While some men were born at third base, he was born with a brain the size of a sunflower seed. A man so frail, he scraped his shins by playing softball when he tripped on his shadow. A man who's promoted not because of his skill, but as a surrender to the uninspiring. He could be best described as the human embodiment of a buffering clip. A man who has the charisma of a 2-week stale hot dog bun. His thoughts rattle in his skull like lost socks in a dryer of unwantedness. Gosh. A man whose only value during an in-studio interview was the key fob in his pocket to let them in the building.
I didn't
A man whose best line in the interview was saying his two-letter name, which he fumbled with his microphone off. A man who does so little at work that when he's off, it gives potential Sueys a purpose to live. Had he been in charge of mankind many millennia ago, cavemen would have been overrun by slugs, incapable of thought, and ill-equipped to even breed. His heritage, questionable. His last big idea was to close his mouth in an attempt to prevent his own dehydration from the drool seeping out, which had failed. His personality is as void and blank as the white t-shirts he constantly wears. He is not on the spectrum. He is the spectrum. He is the abductor of accountability, the sovereign of snooze, the merchant of meh, the a-hole of the bunting baron of blah, DJ Ringenberg.
Boy. I think he focused a little more on the positive on mine than yours.
I think he just has you as such a down-the-middle nothing.
I know.
Just a complete afterthought in people's minds.
How does someone who doesn't know us have such a negative picture of both of
it
us?
It knows a lot of stuff that I don't feel like he could know.
No, very specific.
You wear a white
very
shirt
new,
every day.
Yeah, very new stuff, too.
Really?
This week.
Like, somehow, yeah, he knew that the only thing you said during the Goldson interview was with your mic off.
George Shea would be too busy to be listening to that even. Like, how would he even know?
But he's, you gotta admit, he's plugged in.
Yeah.
He's a P1.
Just...
And he, again, focused on completely different things than he did with Joey Chestnut.
Really knows how to make us feel good about ourselves to really lift us up.
I'm like the Chancellor of Chunky, and you're the... what was yours?
There were too many to even...
Yeah. The Man of Meh.
The Maestro of Meh.
Yeah.
The Merchant of Meh.
Merchant of Meh.
The Sovereign of Snooze. The A-hole of The so Bunting the, Baron of Blah.
There's a Merchant of Death and a Merchant of Meh.
Meh.
You would not have gotten traded for Brittany Griner.
I don't think so.
The Merchant of Meh was not nearly as valuable as the Merchant of Death.
On... Wow.
Well, thank you very much, George.
Also, you're born during a conjugal visit?
Yeah, that doesn't really make sense at all.
The timeline's a little off there.
But there you go. Yeah, the George Shea hot dog intros.
Yay.
For the Ticket Crew.
Well, I'm glad he's listening.
Yeah.
That's good.